Now, it's time for Aging Well, brought to you today by the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University and Wright and Philippus. And we are going to be talking with Ms. Elham Mahmoudi. And she is an Iranian-American graduate student at the IOG. And we're going to be talking about older minorities having access to medical care and resources that they can use to improve their health. And if you have questions for Ms. Mahmoudi, you can call us at 248-557-3300. Elham, good morning.
Good morning.
May I call you Elham?
Absolutely.
Is it Elham or Elham?
Elham.
Elham. Elham. They add emphasis on the first syllable. Okay, I
got
you.
That's right.
Elham. Very good. That's a lovely name.
Thank you.
You know, it's getting more and more common to become familiar with Middle Eastern things because of all of the news that has been going on. How do you feel about all that stuff?
Well, I think it's a good news in general because it seems that they're moving toward the right direction. Democracy for Middle East is good. And I hope they succeed in their quest for freedom.
I was going to say that the last place that perhaps they will be able to do that might be your homeland of Iran because of the situation there. But even there, there's unrest now, isn't there?
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to talk about that. We're going to talk about other things. You and your husband, of course, came here to the United States to get your master's degree. And you worked in the private sector, I understand, before returning to school. And first of all, give us a little of your background before coming to the U.S. and what led you to ultimately to the Institute of Gerontology.
Well, I was born among a Kurdish minority. I was born and raised among Kurdish minority in Iran. Mm-hmm. After I got married, my husband and I came to United States to continue our education. We got our master's, and I started working in the banking industry. For those of you who remember Standard Federal Bank, that was my first job in United States. We became permanent residents and got our citizenship, and I realized that I really like to go back to school to get my PhD, and that's what I did. Currently, I'm a PhD candidate. I'm working on my dissertation, and I'm a pre-doctoral trainee at the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University.
Okay. So you're going to get a doctorate. Very
Hopefully.
Good. Then I can call you Dr. Mahmoudi. I like that. Well, tell us about that research at the Institute, because you're looking at the differences between racial groups and their access to medical care. And what did you find?
Well, our main objective in conducting this research was to look at the trend in racial ethnic disparities in access to physician care in general, and to find out what are the contributing factors in this gap that we see between African Americans and non-Hispanic whites and Hispanics and non-Hispanic whites. What we found in both 2000 and 2007, there are still significant disparities. And we're talking about older population, 65 and over, who do have access to Medicare. Within the whole United States, there are still significant disparities between these subpopulations.
Mm-hmm.
We had two measures to access, measures of access. One was, has the individual seen the doctor within the past 12 months or not? And the second measure was, do they have a usual source of care or not? And it was interesting to see that among African Americans, percentage of people who do not have any usual source of care significantly increase. The gap in having no doctor visits narrowed down for African Americans. And among Hispanics, we see a different pattern. Among Hispanics, we see that the percentage of people with having no usual source of care narrowed down slightly, but increased very sharply in having no doctor visits at all during the past 12 months.
Hmm. That is interesting. You know, that isn't unusual, though, because there are a lot of disparities between racial groups. You see it all the time, especially in medical problems. where the certain ethnic or racial groups are prone to certain medical problems where others are not. We are talking with Ms. Elham Mahmoudi, and you are invited to talk with us. If you have questions while we continue our conversation, our lines are open at 248-557-3300, and this very interesting conversation is being provided by the auspices of one of the leaders in the healthcare field, the folks at Wright and Philippus.
I'm A.J. Philippus, president of Wright and Philippus. People come through our doors needing items such as portable oxygen, wheelchairs, and diabetic shoes. But when they leave, they have much more than a medical product. They leave with a better quality of life. That's our daily mission at Wright and Philippus. And it's why we'll work harder to provide you with the caring service you'd expect from the area's leading home health care company. Over the past 60 years, we've earned a reputation for providing the best service in the industry. It will always be our company's number one goal and is our commitment to you. If you or a family member need anything for home health care, please visit the Wright and Philippus nearest you. We have more than 30 locations throughout the state to serve you.
Wright and Philippus, first to serve your home health care needs.
Now, if you happen to be like me and you don't go online, I'm one of those old-fashioned types, you know, a fuddy-duddy. I don't go to firsttoserve.com, but I do pick up the telephone, and I can call toll-free 1-800-482-0222, and that puts me in touch with the leaders in the home health care field, the folks at Wright and Philippus. We are talking with Elham Mahmoudi from the Institute of Gerontology about her work down there. And Elham, What are the racial and ethnic health disparities, and why are they so important?
Well, let me start by saying that research in general has shown that older African American and Hispanic have less access to primary and specialty care than non-Hispanic whites. And often, they do receive fewer health care procedure and lower quality care when they're treated. As a result of that, they tend to experience worse health outcomes than do whites. One of the reasons that we conduct this research was we want to see where we are regarding this disparity, this inequality of access. It is important. As an economist, we trained to always optimize our solution, bring the cost down. One of the problems we are facing with Medicare these days is the rising cost of Medicare, and we can't sustain the program if we continue this way. Minorities are increasing. The demographics in the United States are changing.
Yeah, very much so.
By 2050, the Census Bureau predicted that almost half of the U.S. population will be either African Americans or Hispanics. So if they do not treat it well, if they go to emergency rooms more often, if the health outcomes does not improve, from economic standpoint, that means that we're facing with this rising cost forever. We cannot sustain it. But from personal perspective, I think it's unfair. It's inhumane. Everybody should have access to medical services, to physician cares. And basically, disparity is the differences that we see within the society, racial differences between whites and African Americans, and ethnic disparity is the difference between whites and Hispanics. And the reason that I pick, not that we don't have any other groups in the United States, these are the majority of minority groups in the United States. If we can solve and reduce that disparity within these groups, hopefully we can do the same for others as well.
Well, I would hope so, because it is a problem, and the white population, which has always enjoyed, you know, being the majority, they're not going to be that forever. More and more. Matter of fact, I thought there would be more than 50% with the black and Hispanic populations by 2050.
Right.
I thought there'd be more than, I thought we would be minorities in the white population.
The way it's going as well, yeah.
Well, it's interesting. We're talking with Elham Mahmoudi, and if you'd like to join the conversation, 248-557-3300 is our number, and we'll get back and continue this conversation in just a moment. I want to talk about losing your independence because of health issues. And that happens as we get older. Perhaps you've discovered this already. But when you lose that independence, you're going to lose part of your life. And Home Care Network of Michigan can restore that independence with a variety of services that will keep you active and functioning and happy. It could be basic transportation, for example, to get groceries or run errands, or specialized wheelchair or ambulatory transportation to take you to the doctors, or surgery discharge. Home Care Network of Michigan is there to provide you with that helping hand when you need it. And they can do that for as little as a few hours a week or up to 24/7. Call Home Care Network of Michigan. They'll be very happy to send you information on all that they can do for you, and there's no obligation. The number is 248-254-3711. Call Home Care Network of Michigan and get information. 248-254-3711. All right, Elham, getting back this thing, based on your study, I mean, what are the main causes of the health disparities that we find in the United States?
That's an excellent question. What we did in our study, we first of all, we look at the fabrics and characteristics of society and how does it change in the United States between 2000 and 2007. It's interesting that when we look at these data, we found out that between these 2 years, 2000 and 2007, we had a significant improvement in education and income level among whites. And we didn't notice any change among African Americans and Hispanics. Actually, among Hispanic subpopulation, we saw the reverse. Among older population, and that causes lots of things among the subpopulation to change. So the main causes that we found through our analysis that contribute to this gap between whites and minority groups was education level, income level, and for Hispanic subpopulation, it was language barriers.
Mm.
Percentage of Hispanics who cannot speak English fluently increased within these years of that we conducted our research.
Yeah.
And that's one of the main issues.
That could be a big problem.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've always been an advocate of saying if you want to be a citizen of this country, you should speak this country's language. I mean, you can speak all the other languages you want, but you ought to be able to speak English because that is our language here. And I would feel the same way if I went to Germany. I would feel like it was an obligation to speak German or to go to Iran and speak Iranian.
That's
and did you learn to speak English when you were in Iran, or did you have to learn when you came here?
Yes, we did have English as a second language in Iran, but when you come here, you have to go through that learning curve and learn the language.
You have to learn the lingo, yeah. And we do have a lot of funny ways to handle English in this country. But I was going to say that you do it very well.
Thank you.
And I noticed that certain words you pronounce a little bit differently, but that's based on the fact that you learned to speak Iranian as a child, and then learned to speak English later, and that happens. But this business with is it primarily the Hispanic group that does not speak English? Of course, and there are a lot of people who say in the Black American group they speak Ebonics. Rather than our regular English, they have kind of their own version of English that sometimes is very difficult to understand.
Yeah. That's true, but at least they have this advantage of ability to communicate with the doctor somehow.
Yeah, they can understand the doctor, even if the doctor doesn't always understand them.
Correct.
Yeah, that's interesting. Now, what could older adults and other individuals do to reduce or eliminate these existing health disparities that we've been talking about?
Our research mainly focuses on policies and what governments can do to reduce this disparity. But at the individual level, there are certain things that individual can do to reduce this gap. First of all, I want to mention that it's we don't see it as a negative thing that there was an improvement among whites in access to physician care.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a negative thing that we see more whites see the doctor. They do have a usual source of care. What we are after, based on this research, is to kind of mimic what happened among whites for minority groups as well. So what individuals can do, older individual at this level, you cannot certainly increase your education level or do something significant about your income. What you can do is find creative ways of using the resources available in the society. I give you an example. If you go to Medicare.gov internet site, there are plenty of resources that you can use.
Mm-hmm.
All older adults, all citizens of United States, senior citizens of United States, do have access to one free visit every year to physician. They can do certain screening. There's no cost associated with that.
Really?
And they can take their blood pressure, weight. They can get a baseline and based on that move forward. There is no cost associated with that.
Is there a cap on income to allow you to do that, or can anybody do it?
Anybody can do that.
How old do you have to be?
65 and over.
65 and older, you get one free trip to the doctor.
Absolutely.
I'm going to have to tell my doctor that so that he... I should charge somebody else for one of these trips. I never heard that. That's wonderful.
You know what? There are lots of resources available.
Yeah.
I give you another example. Medicare Part D has passed in 2006. And, you know, I'm sure all senior citizens who do have Medicare are aware of the Medicare Part D donut hole.
Oh, the donut hole, yes.
That's
we
right.
We know about that.
But if you're among disadvantaged groups, if your income is below a certain level, there are resources available. You can get your medications free or with a minimum cost. So you can bypass that donut gap, get your medication, and don't let it get to a critical point that it's more expensive to society and dangerous to your health.
Well, the ounce of prevention is better than the pound of cure. We are talking with Elham Mahmoudi from the Institute of Gerontology, where she is doing very interesting research on seniors' health situations and across ethnic and racial grounds. And if you have questions or comments for Elham, you can call us at 248-557-3300. We were talking about that website, Medicare.gov, and the Medicare plans like Part D. Let me talk a little bit about that, because the baby boomers are suddenly becoming 65. The very first baby boomers are starting to turn 65 now, and you may be one of them. And if you are, I can tell you this, the best gift for that big birthday is Medicare coverage that's right for you. That's because original Medicare does not cover all those medical costs. You can be responsible for deductibles and co-pays and co-insurances, and there are costs that can be covered with a Medicare solution from HAP, the Health Alliance Plan. Now, Medicare itself awarded HAP the highest star ratings in the state of Michigan for their Medicare Advantage HMOs, PPOs, and HMOPOS plans. And these Medicare ratings were based on three very important areas: member satisfaction, the actual quality of care, and health plan responsiveness. If you'd like to find out more about those star ratings, go to that website, Medicare.gov. And incidentally, different people have very different needs. So at HAP, they offer besides the Medicare Advantage plans, they offer Part D and a whole flock of Medicare supplement plans. But you need to identify which of these plans is right for you and your needs. And what that means is you need to talk with HAP. And there's no charge to talk with HAP. A licensed HAP Medicare representative can provide all kinds of information over the phone or invite you to one of their free Medicare workshops. But call HAP toll-free for more information. 1-800-449-1515. You can call Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. till 6 p.m. That's 1-800-449-1515. All right, Elham, what could the government and the policymakers do to eliminate all these problems we're talking about? Is there anything they can do?
Oh, absolutely. They have the golden key in their hands. But let me just go back to your previous question shortly.
Okay.
Regarding the things that individuals can do for themselves. I do have an uncle, senior citizen, who lives in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Most documents and resources nowadays are available through internet. As you mentioned at the very beginning of your program, a lot of our senior citizens might not have access to internet at their house.
Well, I'm not an internet user.
One of the things I think they can do, and that's I learned through my uncle, you can go to your public library in your city.
Absolutely.
They do, all of them have access to internet. Community centers,
yeah,
they do have access to internet, most of them these days. And go to Medicare.gov. Find out about outreach programs. I give you an example. For instance, in Institute of Gerontology, we do have an outreach program. We do have aging successful seminars and conferences. They can take advantage of this. Educate yourselves about mm-hmm. your health, what you can do to stay healthy. That's one what an individual can do. Going back to the government thing, regarding back to our research again, education level and income, I think what governments can do is to provide educational, health educational seminars to educate our seniors how to take care of themselves, how to take care of the programs that we have available, and make it easier for them to access to medical care in this country. For Hispanic population, provide language services for them. It's not an expensive thing to do. In lots of hospitals these days, they have started that. They do provide a translator for Hispanic population. These are the things that do not cost much and can be done easily through either broadcast, seminars, as I said, public libraries can deliver those services.
Well, when I say that I don't go online, that's because I'm a reader. I'm not going to sit in front of one of those little screens and get my eyeballs all worn out. I read, but I've got all kinds of people who can. My sons and my wife goes online, and so we have a computer at the house. I don't use it.
Gotcha.
I'm not without access to the internet when I want to. I have somebody else do it for me. But I'm glad you mentioned the libraries, because that's a wonderful program. And there's no charge for that. The librarians will take you up to a website that you want and scan around with you and find out what you need to do. And like Medicare.gov is a good website, particularly for seniors.
Yeah.
We're talking with Elham Mumadi, and we've got time for a quick call. If you've got a question for Elham, call 248-557-3300, and we'll be back and kind of get into the final words here this morning. Before I do that, I want to get into some of the aches and pains that may be bothering you, because that's one thing, as we get older, every one of us knows about aches and pains. The arthritis has got you, or maybe it's the overdoing your exercise routine, if you're doing that. Whatever it is, if you have aches and pains, what you need is a product called Ache Away. Ache Away You rub in the ache away and you rub away the pain almost instantly. And that is guaranteed or your money back. You can't beat that. That's a wonderful way to try a product. And you will find these great ache away products at your nearest Save-On drugstore locations, or, of course, always at good old Nutrafoods in Royal Oak. Or you can call the ache away people and order direct. Their number is 248-932-7528. Get ache away. You've got nothing to lose but your pain. It eliminates the pain almost instantly, guaranteed, or your money back. All right, Elham, do you have any resources that you could share with our listeners?
Absolutely. Going back to what we talked before, I seriously recommend all seniors to go to make it a habit to go to this website, www.medicare.gov.
Okay.
There are plenty of resources. You can find out who are the doctors based on your geographic area. Just enter your zip code. You get to know what sources, what are the things available for you for free through Medicare, and so on and so forth. It's a good site. If you don't have internet access, go to your local library. Ask your people who live with you to help you out.
Yeah.
I tell you,
the kids usually go online.
Absolutely, yeah. I tell you a personal experience. I encourage my mom to take a computer lesson and use email, go to internet. Mm-hmm. This is the media of the day, so
it's the way of the future. Eventually, I will sit down and figure out how to do all this.
One more thing that I do have a recommendation. I have a phone number for you.
Okay.
Donna McDonald at Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State. Her phone number is 313-875-6834. We do have an extensive outreach program and plenty of free seminars for seniors to participate. You can get lots of information about your health, how to access to resources that are available.
Well, on that note, we shall close up shop, and it's been absolutely delightful to talk. I wish I had time to talk to you about your experiences of having grown up in Iran and then moving here, because it has to be a whole new world that you moved into. But you do wonderfully. Elham, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Good luck in your research.
Thank you.
And again, that number for Donna McDonald is 313-875-6834. Aging Well has been brought to you by the Institute of Gerontology at Wayne State University and underwritten by Wright and Philippus.